Welcome all. This is Pastor Eric coming to you again, and we're recording for Sunday, May 3rd. And now some of you will be listening to this throughout the week or on other days, and that's one of the great things that's possible with these recordings. We're finding that we're reaching out to not only our church membership, but also to other people in the community, and we've even had people from beyond the community that I have been able to listen in. And so that's one of the marvels and wonders and benefits of this way of worshiping together. And so welcome. Welcome to the regulars. Welcome to all our brothers and sisters in the Petaluma United Methodist Church. And welcome to all of you who are in a greater community. And if you are new, a special welcome to you also. Being the first Sunday of the month, we will be including communion in today's worship service. And a thanks to our organist Marilyn Lee and to our special worship leaders and scripture readers today. And so one other thing that we need to let everyone know is that starting tomorrow, that the trustees have contracted with a termite exterminator in town, and it's going to be quite the project. Because of the nature of where the termites are in our church building and the fact that you can't isolate one part of the building from another part of the building, they will actually be enclosing our entire campus in a huge tent. And so this will begin tomorrow, Monday, May 4th, and it will continue through the whole week. A couple of days putting the tent up with the fumigation and then letting that set, and then a couple of days taking it down. So if you have the opportunity to go by during the week, that's what you'll see. It'll probably be the largest tent in the county for the week. But anyway, just give everyone a heads up on that. And so thank you to Ted Mills and the trustees and other people who have been involved with preparing for that and bringing that together. It's been a lot of work. And also thank you to all of the donors, everyone who's contributed to this large project in our church. So thank you again. And that's what will be coming down this coming week.
Join me in the call to worship. The Lord is our shepherd. We are the sheep of Christ's pasture. The shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures. In Christ, we dwell secure. The shepherd leads us beside still waters and restores our souls. We worship Christ, our shepherd, our gate.
Thank you. join me in the prayer of confession. Christ, our shepherd and gate, we would rather chart our own course than be shepherded like sheep. We would rather find our own way than see you as the way. We would rather be shepherds than sheep, who are vulnerable and exposed. Forgive us when we bleat our resistance as you guide us to higher pastures. Be our gate, our way to safe havens, where we can dwell with you secure. Amen. The one who anoints our head with oil, the one who feeds us while our enemies look on, the one who delivers us from evil, invites us to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Latongona kino rongo, rasangarava matua na nonda ivo wuli na apostolo, kena vilomani, kena vindovi, na manrae, kena masumasu. Asa kanira kethengana rere, asa levu na vivakurumbu itaki, na ivataki lakila, erasa kitaka kwere na apostolo. Ye kwere kethenga, erasa bombota, erasa tigovata, arasa nduisulia na nonda yao ya andua, meratau kina vata. Arsa volitaka na nonda vanua, kina nonda yau, arsa vataki veira kitha ngā, me vaka na nonda ndu inda mdabua. Arsa ngumoto sara, lako kina vali soro, ene veisinga, arsa loma vata, arsa ndubi manrai, ene veivale, arsa kene na kende na marau, kina elondina. Nerisa vabini vina atiku buwana kalu, asa vina katira na tamata kitha ngā vayandua, ina turanga sabaka kurita ka kibira le songo songo len lutu ina vesinga ta tomata era bomboletiku rong ra weekend na bosin kelo kerana no nabi ba dingui ki weekend na ro ga dinda amen.
John 10:1-10. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And here ends the reading.
My sermon today is called Life Abundant. And I must confess that I tend to tune out sermons in which the preachers make a comparison of the congregation with foolish and rather obtuse sheep. I mean, that really grates on me, and I'm never sure who is being more slandered. the sheep, the people in the pews, or most likely those who make the comparison. Although I'm sure we all know somebody who probably does fit the bill. And so there are deeper ways to get into today's reading. And I'd like to ask you to come with me in your imagination to a calm suburb in ancient Palestine 2,000 years ago. I ask you to watch a man sit among children and take them in his arms. I ask you to watch him as he reaches out to the sick and the dying, healing some and assuring all. I ask you to watch him dying his own death and yet giving comfort to the thief next to him. I ask you to listen to his teaching about forgiveness, love, and resurrection. I ask you to attend to his words in today's gospel. I have come that they may have life and have life abundantly. Were we to scan the Gospels for what life means as Jesus understands it, we would find three elements that stand out: relationships, trust, and simplicity. The primary life-giving relationship is, of course, with God, and this means, among other things, prayer. Jesus often spent the whole night in prayer. He knew that without Abba, without the Father God, without a deep and abiding connection with God, all was futile and lifeless. God, as he reminded his hearers, is the God of life. The inescapable other life-giving relationship that flows from the first is relationship with one's neighbor. Love of God and love of neighbor give life. I heard the following story shared well in one of my first churches. Mary, we'll use her name, often told us that when she was a little girl many, many years ago in Queens, New York, she told us about her crazy bachelor, Uncle Larry, who knew everything in the world about gardening and golf. She remembers fondly, "Not only me, but all the kids in the neighborhood. He would teach them the difference between a petunia and a zinnia and that sort of thing. And as many as could fit into the rumble seat of his old car, he would take to the golf course and tell us why it was important to keep your head down and your left shoulder behind the ball." But, she continued, "the best thing I remember was when we went to camp and I always got a letter from Uncle Larry, and in it he would always enclose a crisp new $1 bill, which was a fortune in those days. And he always added a P.S. Don't spend it wisely." He was crazy, a fun-loving, frivolous guy, she said, lightweight but fun. And she continued, Mary continued, "I went back recently to the old neighborhood. I ran into an old neighbor of mine who told me about his son who, way back, had gotten polio. He said, 'I don't know if you know about this or not, but your Uncle Larry paid my son's hospital bill. Did you know that?' 'No, I didn't,' said Mary. And she ran into another neighbor who said that when he lost his job, her Uncle Larry supported him and his family for a whole year till he got another job. Did she know that?" And so it went. This fun-loving, frivolous Uncle Larry, who had given her dollar bills to spend foolishly, spent his life wisely, spent it giving life, spent it in relationship with God and neighbor. If relationship is the first element of life, then trust is the second. Trust that God, who makes it rain on the just and the unjust, and takes care of the birds of the air, also counts the hairs of your head. Trust that even in the midst of hurt and brokenness and pandemics, there is a glory not to be denied. Toward the end of Leonard Bernstein's musical work, Mass, there is a scene in which the priest is richly dressed in magnificent vestments. He's lifted up by the crowd, carrying a splendid glass chalice in his hands. And suddenly the human pyramid collapses and the priest comes tumbling down. His vestments are ripped off and the glass chalice falls to the ground and is shattered. As he walks slowly through the debris of his former glory, barefoot and wearing only a t-shirt and jeans, he hears children's voices singing off stage. Laud, 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 praise, praise, praise. And suddenly the priest notices the broken chalice and looks at it for a long, long time. And then he haltingly says, I never realized that broken glass could shine so brightly. Life is trust. Trust in a God who makes all things new again, who can make the brokenness of our lives shine brightly. Relationship and trust give life, and so does simplicity. Simplicity unclogs what chokes us, the things we're addicted to that suffocate us. Simplicity, a simple, less crowded, less acquisitive lifestyle, which many are now experiencing whether they want to or not. This simplicity opens up spiritual arteries, as it were. Once upon a time, there was a man, a proud man named Carl, who loved to ride his horse through his vast estate and to congratulate himself on his enormous wealth. Well, one day, he came upon Hans, an old tenant farmer who had sat down to eat his lunch in the shade of a great oak tree. Hans' head was bowed in prayer. When Hans looked up, he said, Oh, excuse me, sir, I didn't see you. I was giving thanks for my food. Humph, snorted the rich man, noticing the coarse dark bread and cheese that made up the old man's lunch. If that were all I had to eat, he sneered, I don't think I'd feel like giving thanks. Oh, replied Hans, it's quite sufficient. But it's remarkable that you should come here today because I feel that I have to tell you something because I had a strange dream just before awakening this morning. And what did you dream? Carl asked with an amused smile. The old man answered, There was beauty and peace all around it, and yet I could hear a voice saying, The richest man in the valley will die tonight. Ah, dreams, cried Carl. Nonsense. He turned and galloped away. And Hans prayed as he watched the horse and its rider disappear. Die tonight, mused Carl. It's ridiculous. No use going into a panic. The best thing to do, he decided, was to forget the old man's dream. And yet he couldn't quite forget it. He had felt fine, at least till Hans described that crazy dream of his. Now he wasn't sure that he felt all that well. And so that evening he called his doctor, who was a personal friend. He asked him to come over right away, for he had to speak with him. And when the doctor arrived, Carl told him of the old man's dream, how the richest man in the valley would die this very night. Ah, replied the doctor, sounds like poppycock to me, but for your own peace of mind, let me examine you. A little later, the examination complete, the doctor was full of smiles and assurance. He said, Carl, you're as strong and healthy as that horse you ride. There's no way you're going to die tonight. The doctor was just closing his bag when a messenger arrived out of breath at the manor door. Doctor, doctor, he cried, come quick. It's old Hans. Hans, he just died in his sleep. Amen.
Thank you.
so this is a time of our service where we traditionally share our joys and concerns, lifting up the prayers that are on our heart that we would share with our community. I would lift up in prayer, especially this week, Ellen Mange and her two sons. Some of you may know, but maybe not all of you, that her husband Ken passed away earlier this week, just a few days ago. It was a shock to all of us, but please keep them in our prayers, and we remember Ken very dearly. Lord, hear our prayer. Pray then with me. All things are born of you, O God. We carry within us your light and your life. In the mystery of matter and deep in the cells of our souls are your longings for oneness. The oneness of the universe, vast and vibrating with the sound of its beginning. The oneness of the earth, greening and teeming as a single body. The oneness of the human soul, a sacred countenance in infinite form. Grant us your longings for oneness, O God, amidst life's glorious multiplicities. So we pray together then the words that Jesus taught his first disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, let us love not only in our words, but also in our deeds, through the tithes and offerings that we give today. Offering prayer. Holy One, touch us with the awe that came upon those early disciples as they beheld the signs and wonders performed in their midst by the apostles. May the gifts we offer this day be a remembrance of their commitment to share all things in common. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Friends, we are celebrating communion today, and everyone is welcome. I like to think of it as the feast of the unanxious presence, the risen Christ in our midst. Please join me in prayer. O God, in the fullness of time, your divine love takes on physical form, born in a stable far from home. The human one, the Word of God, the Christ. Your divine love endures hunger and exhaustion, feels the heat of the day and the cold at night, suffers the frustration of being misunderstood and the devastation of being betrayed. Your love bears the weight of the world's ignorance and brokenness. There is no limit to the depths this love will go. Amen. And so we remember that on the night before his death, Jesus gathered his friends for a common meal. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave some to each one, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you and for everyone. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, which is shed for you and for everyone. Drink this in remembrance of me." At the heart of this is a mystery of faith. And repeat after me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ is in our midst. Christ will come again. Let us pray. Holy God, pour forth your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the risen Christ, that we may live his non-anxious presence in the world, loving and serving as he calls us to do. Amen. And so now, each of you at your homes, if you will take and hold your piece of bread, this is the bread of life. And now, holding your cup, this is the cup of refreshing grace. Amen. And please partake of the feast which is spread for all. So I send you forth with this blessing. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the blessings of God Almighty be among you and remain with you always. Amen.